Hawaiian Airlines is the largest and longest-serving air carrier in the islands, with a history dating back nearly 90 years. Come along and join correspondent Molly Blaisdell, reporting from the Maui Airport.
Hello, this is Molly Blaisdell, and I'm sitting here at the Maui Airport awaiting the introduction of the new A321neo aircraft with Hawaiian Airlines. So I'd like to introduce you to my first guest from Hawaiian Airlines.
Mark Dunkely.
And Mark, how long have you been with the airline?
I've been with the company for 15 years now.
I wanted to ask a question because I know there's so many airlines that fly to and from the Hawaiian Islands from all over the world. So why would somebody particularly want to join Hawaiian Airlines as opposed to some of the other options that are out there in the marketplace?
Well, I think there are lots of reasons, but most of them come down to the fact that only one airline, Hawaiian, really delivers that authentic Hawaiian experience from the moment that you approach our ticket counter to the end of your journey. Our team is terrific. We have wonderful, wonderful service providers in the front line. We tailor what we do to make sure that our guests are well cared for when they travel on us. We recognize that for most people coming to Hawaii, the expenditure of the entire trip, the hotel, the attractions, as well as the airfare, is a major financial undertaking. And that's why we put so much into delivering our service on board, to include, obviously, food for all of our guests and also a complimentary cocktail when they're way across the Pacific.
So we've been talking to Mark Dunkerley. We also have Peter Ingram, who is one of the veterans here at Hawaiian Airlines.
Hi, my name's Peter Ingram.
One of my favorite things about airline travel is that you head off on your journey and there's all these experiences along the way. But you've been in the airline industry for quite a long time, and I'm just curious what some of your favorite anecdotes and what's appealing about airline travel to you.
The thing that is still remarkable to me, I've been in this business now for almost a quarter century, but I still find it remarkable every time the plane leaves the ground. Just the nature of that big hulking machine being able to lift itself off the ground as you propel down the runway and then land safely on the other side. And here in Hawaii, we have the remarkable beauty of the islands that you see when you take that Hawaiian Airlines flight and come and land. And so it's always magical to me, the beginning and end of the trip as you take off and leave from the islands.
Peter, I understand the A321neo is going to be flying to and from a lot of mainland markets to Hawaii. Can you tell us what points of departure those flights will be coming from and going to?
Yeah, today we have service from 10 different cities in the western United States, and many of those same cities will be the origin points for our new A321 flights. Some of that replacing service, like on our Oakland to Maui route, where we had a different aircraft type before. Others will be new additions, and the example I would give there is from Portland to Maui, whereas previously we only served Honolulu. So there are a number of markets in the western U.S. that are just the right size in terms of the amount of passenger demand for this aircraft that is slightly smaller than the aircraft that we fly in the market today.
So back to you, Mark. I understand for us aviation non-experts, those of us who don't understand the industry, we probably don't really understand why you have different fleet names, number one, with any airline. But I understand with Hawaiian Airlines, you have special names for your airplanes.
Sure. Well, aircraft come in different shapes and sizes and with different ranges and different purposes. And each of the manufacturers builds aircraft that meet different specifications and they give them names. We fly the Boeing 717 between the islands of the state of Hawaii. That's a small, narrow body that serves us incredibly well in that part of our business. We also operate the A330, an aircraft, a long-range wide-body aircraft built by Airbus. And we've also now got the A321neo, a narrow-body medium-range airplane in our fleet. Beyond that, we give each aircraft a name. And we have a convention that is applied, which is that the Boeing 717s that fly between the islands of the state of Hawaii are each named after a local non-migratory bird, a Hawaiian name for each of those aircraft. For our Boeing 767s, which are leaving our fleet shortly, they were each named after a migratory bird that visits the Hawaiian Islands during the course of their migration. Our A330 family of aircraft, each one of them is named after a constellation in the Hawaiian language. And the Hawaiian history, Hawaiian culture has a long-standing expertise in navigating by celestial bodies, and that was entirely appropriate that we should name our longest-ranged aircraft after the Hawaiian celestial bodies. And then our A321neos are going to be named after local plants here in the islands. And so we have a committee of individuals who meet and they discuss the names that should be given according to that convention.
I would expect, too, that you consult with lots of local cultural experts when you're naming planes or actually probably doing anything in designing an aircraft. Is that correct?
Well, I think most importantly is we have that cultural expertise in our company. I think that's one of the things that separates us from our competitors. Our company is made up of people from this culture. They live the culture, they represent the culture like nobody else can. And so when we address ourselves to things that have a cultural dynamic, we pull that expertise mainly from within our own company. In general, we don't have to look outside the company to understand what it means to be Hawaiian.
Molly Blaisdell here at Hawaiian Airlines, and I've got another person to introduce you all to who's got some great stories about a brand new aircraft and as well as some history about the uniforms of Hawaiian Airlines. Can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Avi Manis. I'm the Senior Vice President of Marketing at Hawaiian Airlines.
I understand it's an exciting time. You've got a new aircraft that you're introducing to the marketplace. So could you tell us a little bit about the aircraft and what makes this different from the other planes that you have in the fleet?
Sure. The A321neo is our new aircraft, and it is a single-aisle aircraft with 189 seats that we're going to use to fly from the west coast of the U.S. to Hawaii. This is a brand-new airplane. We've had the opportunity to design it from the ground up, the interiors and the exterior. We have our new livery on this aircraft that we designed for the launch of this aircraft and are painting across our whole fleet. So it's really a realization of our new design language that we've been developing over the last couple of years.
Well, you were just telling me a little bit about how the new aircraft segues into the history of the uniforms of Hawaiian Airlines. And of course, it's a fascinating story to anybody, even if we're not in fashion or fashion-minded. So can you tell us a little bit about the special history behind Hawaiian Airlines uniforms?
Sure. I mean, every airline has a rich history of uniforms, and they're just a fantastic way you tell the story. We're 88 years old, and there's this great evolution of fashion over those decades, and the uniform tells the story of that. This year, as we launched our new livery and visual identity and the new A321neo, we also thought it was the right time to launch a new uniform. And uniform design is always, it's the most challenging project I think an airline brand goes through, because it is such a personal thing. It's something people wear every day. It also has to be an expression of our brand and our place. And it also has to function. It has to perform in all kinds of environments, from a sunny day in Honolulu to a snowy day in Portland, and take our crews all over the world. So it's a project we undertook about 18 months ago and has carried us through. So there's the design and the story we tell in the design, which is really interesting, but also just the amount of functional work and testing we have to do to make sure that it doesn't just look good, but it also performs for our frontline team every day.
So can you describe the new uniform that the crew is going to be wearing?
Sure. Like attire in Hawaii, the core of it is an aloha print, and we worked with a Hawaii designer from Hilo, Sig Zane, who is a really renowned textile designer and artist. He and his team worked with us. They interviewed employees and came up with a story about how we all work together, the legacy of the airline. We have a voyaging society. We came here to these islands long ago in canoes, and we view the airline and the way that we fly across the world from the islands as an extension of that voyaging tradition. So Sig and the design team wove that together into a story. It's based on a Hawaiian chant that starts with the words kumako, which sort of translates to we stand together. And that was both a message that really resonated in terms of the history of the airline and where we're going, but also how we all work together every day. There's no way to put an airplane into the air without the work of hundreds of people working together in all kinds of different roles, the pilots, the flight attendants, the mechanics, everyone who works to put the plane in the air and take care of our guests. So that was the story of the print. There's a whole narrative. At the end of the day, when you see the person in uniform, you don't necessarily know that story, but I think it comes through in sort of the way the design coheres across all of our employee groups, across our cabins. It's obviously really important that the uniform look good and work in the cabin. And so we work on not just making sure that it looks good outside and in the office, but that we think about how uniform and textiles and service items and seats all work together in the cabin to create this really immersive Hawaii experience.
So Captain Rick has a great and long history with Hawaiian Airlines. Thusly, he's here in the archives and has done a great job organizing the history of the airline.
Well, we became an all-jet airline in 1966 when we bought our DC-9s. DC-9 got the Dash 10s, which about 87 passengers, and that evolved into larger and larger models of the DC-9 over the years. And we settled on the Dash 50, which is about 140 passengers there for many years, and then we moved into the modern Boeing 717s around 2000, which is the latest model of the DC-9. So we've been flying the same model of aircraft, or type rather, we've been flying the same type of aircraft for 50 years now. It's been worked out real good for us. Meanwhile, we've also, of course, gone international. We began in 1983 with Douglas DC-8, and a year later with the Lockheed L-1011, our first wide body. And then in the 90s, we swapped both of those out for DC-10s. And then in 2000, we upgraded our fleet to Boeing 767s. And then around 2010, we moved into the Airbus fleet with the A330s.
But what I really want to know is, what's your favorite story, Rick?
It's been told before, but on December 7th, 1941, during the Pearl Harbor attack, it was Sunday morning. About 8 o'clock in the morning, we were loading aircraft. Well, all of our aircraft were being loaded, ready for the first flights of the week on Sunday morning when the attack happened. It so happened that number 9, our first DC-3, was being boarded to go to Kauai, and it so happened that the most highest-ranking Japanese Shinto priest was on that aircraft, and he had to run to get off the aircraft to avoid the attack. Everybody at Hawaiian Airlines got into the hangar and got away from harm's way, but the aircraft didn't. They were still out on the ramp when nobody was there with fire extinguishers or anything. So when the first pass came through, a couple of bullets went into the cockpit of number 9 and set it on fire. So the aircraft was burning, and then the next aircraft flew a few moments later and hit the fire extinguisher and put the fire out. So the enemy not only partially destroyed the airplane, but then put it out. So we did repair the aircraft. It was very fast. Within a few months, the aircraft was, we had to get a whole other cockpit shipped over from Douglas. This is at the beginning of the war, so that was a pretty big deal to get something done. But anyhow, we flew the aircraft, and it flew many, many years. Had some models remodeled back in the 50s, and we kept it going until 1966. It was one of the last aircrafts to be sold, the last of our DC-3s to be sold, and we sold it to North Japan Airlines. So when it was delivered, of course, it was quite an old airplane already. It was well over 20 years old at this point, and of course, it had all these patches all over it. We had called it old patches over the years because of all the patches for the bullet holes. And of course, when the Japanese executives took a look at the aircraft, they go, like, what are all these patches here? And the captain that had delivered the plane was a old veteran pilot, and he says, well, you put them there. Those are from the bullets that your Navy put there. You know, and they got very quiet about that.
Captain Rick, it's been a great pleasure learning from you and sitting here inspired by all the archives that you've got collected and organized. Mahalo for your time, and I hope you make it to the mainland sometime to visit all the rest of us.
Oh, I do. I get over there as often as I can. Aloha.
You've been listening to correspondent Molly Blaisdell reporting from Maui.
until we meet again when Hawaii calls again. This program came from Hawaii.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of ArkanSongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.